bless you. I'm Pastor Timothy Jones. Thanks for tuning in to the Impact Hour, brought to you by the Rehoboth Church of God in Christ. Prepare yourself for a powerful word from the Lord. The Bible declares in the book of 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, starting at the 1st and the 2nd and the 3rd verse, it said, It came to pass, when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Now, if you would, go to the 8th quantum leap to chapter 8, verse 1. And the Bible says, And after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Metheg Ammon out of the hand of the Philistines. You may be seated. On your way down, I'm not going to have you preach this for me or tell folks what to do, but tell somebody after this. After this. Tell somebody after this. All of us have after this. I don't know what you may be going through today, but God wants you to know there is an after this. There's an after this in your funeral. I just want to prophesy to someone and declare to you that something good is coming after this. The Bible declared in the 8th chapter in the 1st verse, after this, the Bible said David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took their king. He took Metheg Ammon out of the hands of the Philistines and subdued them. After this, somebody needs an after this morning. Somebody's been going through so long that they need to know that after this, I want to reach. I just want you to know that there is future. Pass your problem. Sometime God has to take you through to get you to where he would have you to be. And if you don't be steadfast and unmovable after this. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. It's good to see Sister Ashley and their new baby. Amen, amen, amen. I guess I'm old. I was old school. I think we kept that little boy home for 6 weeks. Because that's what they told us. Hey, doctor said 6 weeks, 6 weeks. That's what they told us. Hey, and that little girl, too. We did what they told us. That's just how it was. Because, you know, and they didn't even, I don't even know if hand sanitizer was invented back then. Praise Jesus. But they got super viruses now, so you know. But praise God, after this, you know, anybody that's ever had a child, and us men don't know much about it, but travail, travail, after travail. Amen. There's joy that comes after what you go through. Amen. That's why you can't be in your feelings all the time. Well, I need you to understand something, that you can't stand here or sit here and lose hope. Don't throw in the towel and don't give up. Don't switch your faith off. There's something beyond this. This is just the hallway that's leading you to where God would have you to be. You ever been in a situation, somebody said, well, where is it? Going down that hall and then make a left. And while you walking down that hall, somehow deep inside you feel like they gave you the wrong directions. You ever been in one of them situations where you on the road and you too proud to ask for directions? I know, you know, my wife be sitting next to me, and you know, I'm not that type guy because I worked on navigation systems, and I realized that if you just go a little bit out the way, it can take up a whole lot of your time. Just a little bit. You can be 1 degree off headed to L.A., and you end up in Canada somewhere. Just a little bit. It don't take a lot to get you off course, and God wants you to stay the course. But I come with the word today. It just won't let me go. It keeps saying, after this, all these things that you've been going through, all the headaches, all trials, all tribulations, have their point place in your life. So don't throw in the towel. This is just the hallway. This is the between place. This is what some folks might call the meanwhile. This is the valley between two mountains. I don't know if you understand, but you know there's stuff God does in the valley that puts you in place to get to the mountain. Do you not realize that? Listen, what God sent his man servant up on top of the mountain to give him the commandments, the thing that happened up there had to come down there. And do you not realize that faith is the vehicle that gets it from there to here? And if you don't have faith in the meanwhile, if you don't have faith after this while you're going through, it's going to be a problem when you get to. Well, this is not the end. This is just a temporary inconvenience. This is not what God would have for you, but sometimes you get in a place that God has to let you know that while you're here, look, I got something playing. I got something going. Y'all ever been in the kitchen and your mama said she was going to make a cake? But while you're waiting, you can't help yourself. And while she moving up the batter, we be all up on her, so she'd just give us a spoon. Take this. Lick this off the spoon. Get out the kitchen. I got something coming, but it's a time that it's got to go through the fire. Got to the point when me and my brothers would battle royale over the spoon. Y'all know that thing with the white thing that you scrape all the stuff off the side? Little rubber thing. We got to a point where fisticuffs would go on. Because we couldn't wait for the finished product. God's people can't be that way. You got to be willing to wait on the Lord. And then again I say wait. Because what's now is not what God really has for you. After this. It means, what does meanwhile mean? It means that while you're in it, it means it's hard, it's painful, it's trying, it's dark, it's uncertain, but God, it's just for a while. It means that no matter how tough it gets, trouble don't last. Always. Remember, after Elijah calls down fire from heaven, and after his servant sees a little cloud, the Bible says, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with cloud and wind, and there was a great rain. The great rain came after the meanwhile. The great blessing came after the meanwhile. In the meanwhile, there was a dark clouds and winds. And for somebody today, that's exactly where you are. You're in a dark place. You're in a cloudy place. And you don't realize how you got there. But let me say this. If you trust God, the harsh winds of adversity are blowing in your life. And right now, the dark clouds are obscuring the sunlight. You are in the meanwhile. You're in a place of testing, of waiting, of uncertainty, of not knowing. The valley of testing and trusting. That's where the saints make a mistake. Soon as God starts testing them, they start doubting and stop trusting. Soon as God starts trying to refine us. See, everybody, you know, God don't need everybody to make it through the wilderness. You know, because, you know, some folks, soon as they get in the wilderness, they start murmuring and complaining. Y'all know that? Everybody can't go through the wilderness. Everybody's not built for the wilderness. Everybody's not built for trouble. Some folks built for gossiping. Some folks built for talking. And some folks built for crying. And some folks built wimpy like. But saints of God, Christianity is not for the weak. It's not for those for the faint at heart. That's why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, for we wrestle, because everybody can't wrestle. Let me let you know. It don't take long before you find out. Everybody ain't built for it. Because it ain't that they couldn't do it if they didn't put the time in. But everybody's not willing to make the sacrifices that it's required to become good at it. Some folks get to the point where they say, well, I tried it, but it ain't for me. That tell you they got their head pilled the first time they tried it. That's what it tell you. It tell you, this ain't for me. But let me make this clear to you. From the place when God saved you, God is trying to build and stack upon that. He's trying to build up, building up your hope on your most holy faith. And God is trying to get you to a place where no matter what you go through, you're tough enough to go through it. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. David didn't say, yea, though I got to the gate front of him and said, I don't know if this for me. I don't know if I'm going to be willing to handle it. No, David started walking through the valley and the shadow of death. Yeah, it's scary. Yeah, it's dark. Yeah, folks getting killed all around you. Yeah, there's trouble. Yeah, there's problems. Yeah, there's fussing. And yeah, there's arguing. And yeah, there's people that's going to hate on you. That's what they're there for. I know some of y'all probably too ashamed to say it, but you ever been in a haunted house? Some of y'all, nah, Pastor, I would never go there. That's not for the saints. No, you wasn't always saved. In the haunted house, they got all type ghosts and goblins and all type stuff that's supposed to scare you. And do you know? You know before you get there, it's fake. But I was still scared when I went. I was a young man. Last time I went, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, about 17, 18, about 18. And I know they was fake, but they looked so real. And they come out and they go, ha, ha, ha. Now, God's word said that you already won. And yes, trials are real. Yes, tribulations are real. Yes, what you going through hurt. Yes, they broke your heart. Yes, they slid on you. Yes, you've been through it. But let me tell you after this. Ain't no sense you worrying about what folks do. Crazy folks going to be crazy. Loving folks going to love you. Hating folks going to hate you. They going to be who they are. So, you got to stay in the vein of while you're being tested, you got to keep trusting. Yeah, you're testing me, God, but I trust you. The wind's blowing hard in my face, but I still trust you. So God sent me here today with this word that says, after this, I just keep hearing it, it won't go away. And the word said that after this, David smote the Philistines and subdued them. That word smote means to attack, to smite, to hit, to conquer, to punish, to destroy. Then, after all that, he subdued them. Everybody that didn't get destroyed, got subdued. Now, what does subdued mean? He just straight took over. Now, Mr. Philistines, now you uncircumcised, demon-possessed folks, after this. Because you got to read. The Bible said God had already, in chapter 7, put them at peace. He had already, he's sitting there with his prophet having a little lunch, and he's talking, and he said, look here, prophet, my house is made of cedar, but the Ark of the Covenant is behind curtains. It's in a tent. The Ark of the Covenant is behind cloth, curtains. And so the prophet told him, look here, everything that's in your heart, do it. The Lord is with you. But when we get to chapter 8, the king wasn't just talking. He started moving. The Bible said that they took over the Philistines. After this, after his conversation with the prophet, after God had brought him to peace, after God had scared all the enemy into leaving him alone, David went out and took what God had already given him. After this, after you got saved, after you got filled with the Holy Ghost, after you start praying for your kids, yes, it seemed like they ain't gonna get right. Yeah, it seemed like they ain't gonna act right. Yeah, it seemed like they ain't gonna talk to you right. Yeah, but after this, God will. God will do. God will do. Subdue means to bring it low. To bring it into subjection, to humiliate. God never told us that if we would serve him, that we wouldn't have no problems. God never said that we wouldn't have to fight the devil. God never said that every day was going to be sunny. God never told us that everything was going to be all right. Quite the opposite, because he said, man born a woman, Lord, I ain't talking about jackals. I ain't talking about folks born of lizards. I'm talking about man born a woman, his days are few and full. So since I got to have trouble anyway, I might as well have a God that sits high and looks low and can make a after this. Because once I get through the trouble, payday coming after a while. God didn't make us any promises. The only promise he made is that he would be with us. So when you're going through the valley in the shadow of the death, I'm with you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yeah, I got a billy club to help me out while I'm walking through. But thy rod and thy staff, yea, though I walk through, I'm not going to stall. I ain't going to get worried. I ain't going to stand still. But I'm going to keep on moving. Because if I keep going, God will meet me halfway. After this. After the divorce. After cancer been cured from your body. After you flunk one class. After you gain 100 pounds. After. Amen. After your hairline start to recede. After your favorite food, you can't handle it no more. After. After this, he promised us that he was going to be with us. The fact says in the Bible, Psalms 34 and 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them out of them all. Listen, he didn't say you get one or two. He said many. Why are they always picking on me? Many. Man born of woman. Full. How many know what full mean? How many know what many mean? Listen, you know, if you're traveling down life's highway and you never meet the devil, then maybe the devil walking by the side of you. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, I'm talking about folks that's in right standing with God. You can be doing what God told you to do. You can be headed where God told you to go and run into a storm. Because Jesus told his disciples, go to the other side. But on their way, they ran into a storm. But guess what he said? I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Pastor, why me? Why not? There's a little something he needs to work out of you. Me. Another important scripture is Isaiah 43 and 2. When thou passest through the waters. I'm going to say that again because I don't want you to miss this. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, and they not overflow thee. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not get burnt, neither shall the flame be kindled upon thee. Now, let's just analyze. Allow me to teach for a second here. When thou walkest, he ain't say when thou take a nap. You supposed to catch on fire. You supposed to drown when thou stop swimming. When thou walkest through the water. He said, I'm here I am. When thou goest through the river. Here I am when thou goest through the fire. Through. You can't get to after this till you get through. And some of us need to be through with sin. Through it last week. Through it ex-boyfriends and through it ex-girlfriends and through it sin in general. We need to get through with some of the stuff that's been hindering us. When thou get through. I used to have a buddy. Every time I come around and he's smoking, man, I'm going to quit this one day. Are you sure about that? Because your conversation ain't changed, but you still doing it. I said, well, here's a nifty idea. Try to quit right now. I mean, you got a little bit in your system. I mean, you just had a couple puffs. Quit now. Be a man. You know, sometimes we just got to start telling folks the truth. You ain't going to do nothing. Because until you stop wanting to do it, until you start hating to do it, because, you know, sin, and there's stuff out here that until you start hating it, it ain't going away. Till you just get a disgust, but I can't, I just don't want to be around stuff like that no more. It's just I can't take it no more. This is what the Lord told me to say today. If you will not give up, if you will not give in to fear and doubt, and if you will keep on work walking through the fire, if you will keep on praising God in your midnight hour, if you would keep on giving them the praise, God said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. God said, after this, you know, before God saved me, I got myself in a whole bunch of trouble. Whole bunch of trouble. And I was in the United States Air Force, and I was slick with the mouth, and I'd tell folks off and whatever, you know, but that's just me. That's who I was. So God saved me. But you know, there comes a time when your past come to get you. Oh, I show up to work, and my reenlistment papers was there, and I took it to my boss, and he just bust out laughing. He thought I was Kevin Hart. He thought I was cracking jokes. He's like, when he finished laughing, he said, ain't nobody reenlisting you. You Tim Jones. Everybody know you. I said, wrong. My name Timothy. One who honors God. Matt Sergeant Green looked at me and said, is that what that means? Yes, sir. You called me Tim. That was that guy. That was that guy. He said, well, do what you got to do, Jones. So I walked out his office, talked to another guy. He thought it was a matter laughable. But you know, God always has a way of working some things out. Yeah. Working some things out. They punished me by sending me to Desert Storm. They sent me to the war. My unit wasn't even there. They sent me and my friend. No, my friend wasn't bad. We was just bad. We was just black. They sent me and him to Saudi Arabia during the wartime. So I go home that night, tell my dad, Dad, I'm coming home. Send me the electrician's book. I'm going to read through it. I'm going to pass the test, and you can work on the license for me. Keep all the money. He said, son, do you want to stay in? Yeah, but they ain't going to let me. They don't have. Are you listening? They don't have the heart of the king in their hand. God does. He said, I'm going to pray about it, and I'll call you later. The next morning, I walk into work, and the same guy that just had a tickle fit, he said, Tim, Congress overnight passed a law that said anybody that went to Desert Storm automatically get to reenlist. Y'all don't know the God we serve. After this, after you've been laughed at, after you've been lied on, after you done messed everything up, once you surrender to the Lord and lay it all on the line and tell him, God, if you do this, wash me, cleanse me. Just let me come back home. So guess what? I signed the papers, and now I'm walking around with my chest out. Them same folks that told me I couldn't, I went and found a guy about young as my daughter. Just got in the military, little lieutenant. He walking, I come here, brother, let me talk to you for a second. He said, what's going on? I said, can you re-enlist me? The guy was so excited. Oh, no, it's my first one. He runs to the vending machine, get 4 Susie Q's, chocolate milk. We about to celebrate his first re-enlistment. And I'm sitting there thinking, is this for real? He brings his whole office out. Come on, y'all. I'm about to re-enlist this guy. Y'all got to see this. He didn't even know what he was doing. He was stumbling over the word. But all I needed was his signature. When you trust God, when you surrender yourself to the Lord, I don't care who you was. I don't care what you did. God's grace and his forgiveness will wash you white as snow, and God will work miracles in your life. Let me say this. The same people that told me that nonsense had put me on the night shift, and they didn't know that I was still in the military till I was about to be promoted. Well, Tim, what do you mean he about to be sergeant? What? He out. I'm working the night shift Monday through Friday. Ain't did no weekend duties. They thought I was gone. Ain't even making me work the weekends no more. I'm loving life, going home to Sister Jones. Ain't working on Saturday and Sunday like the rest of them jokers. God just put me in a quiet spot. And they were so mad about it. When they went to do something, I showed up with orders to Korea. Goodbye, don't belong to y'all no more. The Lord has blessed me. And you know what happened in Korea? I ran into some young men who really love their God. They said, listen, man, you got zeal, but I need you to learn this word. So every day, they studying with me. We had prayer in the mornings. Then we go work on planes at night. And the chaplain said, come here, young man. Do you know who you are? I said, yes, sir. Now, do you know who you are? I'm Timothy. He's now. He said, look, man, there's a calling on your life. Come back, tell me what it is. What? Calling on my life? No, the calling is to play drums. I just want to sit in the background. I just want to be saved. Because folks out front get bust upside the head with stuff that wasn't even meant for them. He said, well, that ain't the deal you made with God, is it? Now, up until that point, I didn't know that Baptist folks get spoke to by God. But chapter one, he said, that ain't the deal you made with God, is it? Oh, man. I said, well, he said, what you tell him? I said, I told him I'd do whatever he asked. Well, he's asking. See you in ministry class. Y'all, saints, you got to start to understand that after this, yeah, you're going to go through. And you know what? Just because I got saved, the devil didn't retire. He ain't sitting on his hands crying, oh, he took my special demon-possessed guy who would do anything. He ain't out there doing that. He ain't crying because you gave your life to the Lord. He's looking for a way to get back in your system, to make you act like you used to act, to make you denounce your God, to make you act like you never knew God. But after this, you got to understand something. Trouble don't last always. Trials and tribulations have a way of refining you. You ever seen how a piece of wood looked before they put the sandpaper on it? You wouldn't want it at your house. But after they sand it down and throw some oil on it, you'd be looking, this look like a good cutting board for a steak. You know, when I was in seventh grade, we made cutting boards. But the piece of wood they gave us, my mama ain't cutting nothing on that. Yeah, she will when you're done with it. Mr. Franklin showed us how to cut it and glue it back together. He said it'd make it stronger, and he put some particular piece in the middle that was supposed to do something. And when we put it back together, and by the time we put elbow grease, sweat equity into it, what God wants to do is save you, deliver you, and get you on a regimen of fasting and praying and reading his word and fasting and praying and reading his word and coming to service and learning and hearing and believing and trusting. And no, even though tests come, you keep trusting him. What God wants to do is smooth you out to the point that your next door neighbor that knew you was a rebel rouser and would cuss anybody out because they walked in your lawn, he'll have them believing, what in the world happened to you, man? After this, God wants to deliver you from something. Folks have been through, do you think the saints are exempt from all the things that the world go through? Huh? Do you know that Pastor Tim be reading all the time, and I found out that the church got just as many divorces as the world? After your divorce. After this. Sometimes we look at folks like they substandard. Like they don't, God forgave them, and you ain't got no business looking at them funny. You need to be saved, as they say. How in the world you going to look at somebody for sin when God has no dealing with any sin? Well, don't nobody know I lied, so I guess it wasn't a lie. You a lie. Because God saw what you did when you did when you thought nobody was looking, when you did what you did when you thought nobody saw what you did. God saw it. Time out for poking at folks, looking at folks that you ain't prayed for. You know, I used to get angry when Sandra would talk about me till I heard her praying for me. Now, if she done asked God to change me, then now she got the right to come out and tell her, look, Pastor, look, husband, look, Tim, whatever she called me, look, man. If I'm your help me help you. Does that make sense to anybody? Let me tell you, most folks misinterpret the scripture. They think help me mean help meet the bills. But But that word literally means meter. Meter, M-E-T-E. The Americans put an R on the end, but it means meter and balance. In other words, that she is the appropriate balance to our craziness or whatever. Do you see? They ain't had them scales like we got now. We got digital scales. You get on there and it show your weight. But they had to put something that was just as heavy as you to find out what you weigh. You see where I'm coming from? So it's meter and balance. It balance you out. In other words, that's why two men don't work. Because you ain't made for them. That's why two women don't work. Because it can't balance you out. It's all on one side of the scale. So help me means, look, hey, I'm trying to help you. But you got to listen. Understand. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, when David was done smoting the Philistines and humiliating them, he subdued them, took charge, took over. Now, God had already gave him peace. He gave him peace. But because he gave him peace, David wasn't satisfied with the presence of God in a tabernacle. Y'all know what a tabernacle is? It's a tent. Yeah, the veils are strong. You got them big old soundproof curtains, but it's not fortified when the enemy comes. A tent is portable. A tent is designed to fold up and keep it going down the road. God wanted a house that was going to be there, stay there, always be there. Do you understand? And so David wasn't satisfied. So the prophet just gave him a word of insurance. Everything that's in your heart, do it. For the Lord is with you. If you know that God is with you, you ain't gonna have no problem doing what he say. After this, the tables are turned. After this, David bounced back strong. Do you know David was a man of war before that? But now he had something really to fight for. I'm sick of the presence of my God living behind a tent. It's time to build my God a temple. Are you listening, saints? It's time to... David said, I'm living in a cedar house. Now, I done seen a cedar chest. Matter of fact, I've even seen on Cribs, a guy had a cedar closet. He claimed it keep the clothes smelling fresh. But David said he lived in a cedar house. And let me make this clear to y'all. It wasn't no four-bedroom, two-bath. It was the palace, a cedar palace. I'm just saying. And he felt like, if I can live like this, he done took me from the sheep to the palace. If I done been chased by the old king, I done had to fight giants before I was trained to fight. I done had to run for my life. I done had to fake like I was crazy so I wouldn't get killed. We talking about David. I done had to repent after I sinned. I done had to pour my heart out. I done lost a son. But if I can go through all this, after this, what will God do then? Everyone standing. How many know that they done been through some stuff? The songwriter said, I've been through the fire, but I got out. You know what the songwriter didn't tell you in verse 2? About to go through the fire again.
You have been listening to the Impact Hour with Pastor Timothy Jones. Thank you for listening. I love you with the love of Christ. Until next time, remember, when you come out of the storm, you're not the same person that went into the storm.